I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. Trey Ellis is known for writing great novels and screenplays. In his new memoir, Bedtime Stories, Adventures in the Land of Single Fatherhood, he covers unimaginable family tragedies and talks about how he found humor in being a single dad. Trey Ellis told me how he approached telling his own story in his own way.
It was interesting because my first novel, Platitudes, was pretty fictional. My second two novels, Right Here, Right Now, and Home Repairs, especially Home Repairs, was pretty autobiographical. So this time, I really wanted to try my hand at writing a novel about myself. So I tried to write it as artfully as you would write a novel, with the same kind of conceits that I put into, let's say, Platitudes, my kind of funny screenplays and music lyrics and footnotes, and write it artistically, but tell the story of my life. And that was the tricky part, to see myself as a character, and not as myself.
You have, at one point in the book, you talk about all these dreams that you had to write books and to direct, and you write, "I'm convinced that my delusion of seeing the story of my life is just that, a grand story, is the only thing that has staved off even more debilitating mental illnesses." What does that mean?
Well, you know, I've been through a lot. You know, with my wife leaving, but before that with the suicide of my mother and my dad dying of AIDS complications. So all these things hitting me, and that was, both those happened when I was, you know, before I was 22. The way I coped with these disasters was seeing myself as the hero of my own story and thinking, oh, okay, in the story, the guy survives. He doesn't kill himself. He doesn't commit himself to a mental hospital. He actually survives and thrives and overcomes these obstacles.
And in addition to that, you've also had kidney problems, and you talk really frankly about just how much strength it took you to do really basic things because you were constantly dealing with your body rebelling against you.
Yeah, I'm going through that right now. I'm on the top of the list for a transplant now, and I don't really want a transplant right now because I'm doing all right. So at this point, I kind of bring it on. I just, you know, I can take it.
What about the good stuff? There are many good things in your life, and two of them are Ava and Chet, your kids. What are they like?
They are the best kids in the world. You know, I'm really lazy, so I get up at 7, wake them up, and then go back to sleep for a half hour before I have to rush them to school. And Chet snuck into my bed and just said, I'm just, Daddy, hug me, you know, at 6 still. And so I spent a half hour just hugging him. So the rest of my day was great because of that. And Ava thinks that I'm, you know, like the Beatles rolled into one. It's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think has changed for them as kids from having a single father as opposed to a single mother or as opposed to a couple? How do you think it might have changed their lives?
Yeah, that's a hard thing to figure out because, you know, when my ex-wife moved out, Chet was only about 8 months old, and she moved down the street. So she still was in their life, but I've always been, you know, the primary person for both of them. So it's really the only thing they know. So it's hard to tell. You know, they've got friends who are divorced. They've got friends that are raised by single mothers, friends whose parents get along well, friends whose parents don't get along well. They still, obviously, you know, Chet said, if I had one wish, Daddy, it would be that you two would get undivorced. But he doesn't even know what it's like to have us together in the same place. To compensate for that, I just try to spoil them with as much love as I can.
You also talk a lot about your own dating and the good, the bad, and the ugly. Bedtime Stories has a subtitle, Adventures in the Land of Single Fatherhood. So are the adventures that you take in dating as a single father profoundly different than the ones that you had before you were married?
Yeah, I mean, they're profoundly different for me, especially because I was pretty nerdy and didn't have a lot of dates before I was married, and I was really lucky to get married. Now I'm more self-assured, but the thing now, which is funny, is that my kids sort of act the way parents, I think, act for most people, you know, when they're teenagers, that I sneak around dating under the noses of my kids. So when they're asleep in the other room, I can have a date and close the door and you know, not have them know about it.
Have you ever been busted?
Nope. That's why I have locks on the doors. I'm very good about that. There was one time when we were, you know, when I had, I was engaged after the divorce. And I remember one night, the next morning, my son said something like, you know, were you hurt last night? Something about the noises he heard the night before, and that was horrifying.
Yeah, you're like, Daddy stubbed his toe. Go
lot.
back to sleep. Would you ever consider, it sounds like you have in the past, but at this point, are you looking to find love? And at what, how would that have to fit into you already having a family?
Yeah, I think about that a lot. And that's really the lesson for me from this book, is that I'm still an incurable romantic, but I'm now an incurable romantic about my kids. A lot of the pressure that was on my relationships before has been relieved now, because I know that I'm not going to grow old alone. As long as I can keep my kids loving me, I've got that part taken care of. So that's freed me to really take more time when I meet somebody to make sure that it's right, and make sure that it's right in all kind of ways, firing on all cylinders, not just the person's beautiful or that they take care of my kids or anything, that it's got to fit. I can be very, very picky now, thanks to my love for my kids.
So it sounds like everything is, if not all written and done, at least you have a sense of hope. Is that too corny a word to use for this? It sounds like with everything you've been through over the years, that you're still a romantic about life.
Yeah, that's what's, you know, a little crazy about me, because and that's what my friends point out often. And even in the middle of terrible things happening to me, if there's one little piece of something positive happening, I'll think yes. And I make these crazy logical leaps. Like if some little positive thing happens, I suddenly think that you know, Tom Cruise is going to star in some movie and is going to give me a you know, bucket loads of money and everything's fine. And they're delusions, but they keep me warm at night.
So this book just screams out to be made into a movie. It's written, no doubt, because of your skills in a very cinematic style. If it gets made into a movie, who do you want to play you?
There are a couple of people. I mean, I would think Terrence Howard would be terrific because he's so handsome, and I'd feel like, wow, that's such an idealized version of myself. And I love, you know, I love Don Cheadle as well. He's so brilliant, and I'd be honored if either one of them would play me.
Sounds good. Trey, thanks so much. Enjoyed the
Thank
book.
Thank you.
Novelist, screenwriter, and blogger Trey Ellis, his new memoir is Bedtime Stories, Adventures in the Land of Single Fatherhood. You can read an excerpt on our website, nprnewsandnotes.org.